Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In the Bible, we read the phrase, waiting on God, and in our hurry to get through life today, we sometimes overlook what it can mean to wait on God. We can look to examples from the Bible of people who had to wait on God. It's easy for us to, in the comfort of our life today, to casually read through their life recorded in the Bible. For those people, living their lives was probably a much different experience than anything we can imagine. What might take minutes or hours for us to read through today was as much as a lifetime for them. Let's take a look at the life of some of these people, starting with Abraham. Abraham had to wait a long time just to get started on his journey of faith, and then had to wait even longer to begin to see the fulfillment of promises made by God to him. When Abraham, then named Abram, left his country, he was already 75 years old. Most people today who are 75 years old and older would have very little interest to move from their country to another. Typically, only those people with special circumstances would move today. Most would not move to another country. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. After leaving his home country to travel to the promised land with a promise to become a great nation, it would take another 25 years to have his first son born to Sarah, his wife. I spent 27 years as a special education teacher and coordinator during my public education career, and then I received the promise of my pension. Abraham had to wait a long time, and by that time, he was very old. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Abraham waited a long time to receive the down payment on the promise to become a great nation in the birth of his son Isaac. He patiently endured and needed to do so to receive that promise. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, saving him from a sure death. For the first 40 years of his life, Moses was happy to live the royal lifestyle, and then he decided to visit his birth heritage. Today, when people are 40 years old, they tend to be thought of as middle-aged. That's how long Moses took to reconnect with his birth heritage, and when he visited, what did he see? He saw an Egyptian mistreating a person of Israel and killed that Egyptian. Instead of being a hero to the Israelites, they rejected him and let him know they saw how he had killed that Egyptian. Moses fled and was there for 40 years before he noticed the burning bush and the command to return to Egypt. Moses was 80 years old by this time. Today, what would be a lifetime to wait? He then would spend another 40 years with the Israelites in the wilderness before dying on a mountaintop overlooking the Jordan River and the Promised Land. Moses had three acts of 40 years before he got to look at the Promised Land right before dying. Acts 7, verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and judge over us? Will thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. David, the youngest of Jesse's son, was chosen by God to replace Saul as king of Israel. When Samuel the prophet showed up in David's hometown, it caused the locals to be concerned because they weren't sure if Samuel was coming in peace or to bring a message of judgment from God. David was soon chosen, but it took longer than expected because Jesse couldn't even consider that God would choose his youngest son David to be king. That was probably because David was younger and had fewer life experiences to prepare him to be king. Today, When we think of a person selected to be king, our minds probably go to somebody like King Charles of England, who became king upon the death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth, and then months later was crowned for all to see in a coronation ceremony. For David, his wait to be crowned was much longer than months. The Bible doesn't give us an exact timeline, but David's wait was probably somewhere between 12 and 16 years. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent him and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Samuel would stick around for many more years as king, until he finally died of a self-inflicted injury during battle, preferring that fate to capture and death by his enemy. 1 Samuel 31, verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But the armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men that same day together. It might take you anywhere from a half hour to an hour to read from 1 Samuel 16, through 1 Samuel 31. But the span of time that represents is commonly thought of as 15 years. Saul did everything he could do to reject David as the next king of Israel. It might have been longer or shorter, but it was a long period of time to wait. David wasn't the only youngest brother to have to wait in the Bible. Joseph, the youngest brother among the sons of Jacob, also had to wait. His older brothers saw Joseph as a dreamer, not understanding that the dream shared by Joseph were visions that God had given him. In essence, not only did Joseph have to wait for God, but he had to wait for God, rejected by his brothers, for how God would be working in his life. Instead of trying to understand the visions that God had given Joseph through dreams, his brothers decided to sell Joseph into slavery. Genesis 37, verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and of our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he said it, and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. After being sold to Potiphar, he would end up in prison, where he connected with the chief butler and baker of Pharaoh. 2 years would pass when Pharaoh had a dream of 7 fat ears of corn and 7 lean ears of corn, where the 7 fat ears of corn ate the 7 lean ears of corn. As wild as that dream was, Pharaoh did not understand it, and the chief butler remembered Joseph. Eventually, Joseph connected with Pharaoh and correctly interpreted his dream. In the process, Joseph became well trusted by Pharaoh and began to prepare for the coming famine, which would come soon. Genesis 41, verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do." And the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because of the famine was so sore in all the lands. It was sometime during those 7 years of famine that Joseph became reconnected with his brothers who had sold him into slavery. His brothers were sent by Jacob to travel to Egypt to get food, and would find themselves standing before Joseph fulfilling that dream that he had had so many years before. Genesis 42, verse 1. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, "Lest peradventure mischief befall him." And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Joseph waited a long time on God, between his dream and the fulfillment of it. And while he waited, he was ridiculed and belittled by his brothers for his dream, sold into slavery, and imprisoned before even getting close to being in the position where the dream is fulfilled. For the people of faith that we read about, waiting was a good part of their faith. It might not have been hurry up and wait, as is the joke with the military, but there was still a wait. It should come as no surprise to us when we find ourselves waiting on God. When might we find ourselves waiting on God? When we ask God in prayer for something and we do not get the answer we expect. Take, for instance, what we are told in John. Jesus tells us that if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What Jesus doesn't tell us is when he will do it, just that he will do it. What might seem like an unanswered prayer today could simply be a need for us to wait, even if that wait takes us beyond the physical life to the resurrection. A person in the faith who dies from a disease will be resurrected as a spirit being without any impact from the disease. Even then, our prayers will be answered. I once jokingly asked God for the winning lotto numbers for 5 balls and a bonus ball. That night, I dreamt of those numbers, and reflecting God's humor upon waking up, I could only remember the bonus ball number, which turned out to a match to an extremely large jackpot. Without the other 5 balls, the amount of money won barely covered the cost of the lotto ticket. While we are promised by Jesus that if we ask anything in his name that he will do it, we are not promised when and where Jesus will do it. Like the people of faith from the Old Testament who had to wait, we will have to wait as well. Some might think waiting is boring, and I could see many younger people thinking that, but I suspect many older people also think waiting is boring. Isaiah tells us just about the opposite, showing that if we wait on God, God will renew our strength so that we can run and soar. Again, we are not told when, but that this will happen. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Lamentations reminds us that God is good to those who wait on him and who seek him. We are also reminded of the benefit from connecting with God at a younger age as we quietly wait and hope for salvation. Lamentations 3, verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Living in evil times can cause us frustration as we wait on God, but we must continue to wait on God, even when all we see around is evil. If there is no good person in our life, if all the people we see are wicked and evil, we need to wait. We might be very aware of how the people are evil, but even with evil living through all the people around us, God will keep us from evil. Let's look at how Micah described evil and our need to wait for God for salvation. Micah 7, verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth thy father, the daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. When Jesus prayed for the disciples on the night before the crucifixion, he made a request of God recorded for us in John 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We may live in a world where evil is all around us, and we never abandon faith. We wait on God. Naturally, when we are aware of danger to us, God expects us to take action to protect ourselves. For instance, we might live in a world where all around us are evil people, and we will protect ourselves by minimizing contact with the evil people and increasing prayerful contact with God. We never bring harm to another person. In the book of Psalms, we are told that we must wait on God and have good courage, and God will strengthen our heart. When God sees us taking action to respond positively to him, God will respond by magnifying our strengths within us. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, and unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes waiting on God means trusting in God instead of ourselves. If we ever think that God is making a mistake and we are not, our mistake is in that thought. As we acknowledge and trust God, God will lead us. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thine ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Waiting on God means we cannot become wary with well-doing, even when we are surrounded by others who fall flat on well-doing. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Waiting on God means we live a life that requires patience and tolerance, because we are living in a world that is evil and surrounded by people who are influenced by evil. And even in all that evil, we must still have patience, tolerance, and even joyfulness. Even when everything is bad around us, through the Holy Spirit, we should find joy, even if joy is only centered on the hope that we have of the kingdom of God and the joy that will bring to the people. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Waiting on God means we endure. We do not give up ever. We are patient, knowing that even a farmer must wait until harvest to reap the bounty of the crops. The waiting we have today is not much different than the waiting of the people of faith from the Bible. While we wait on God, we cannot nitpick with other people of faith. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. Waiting on God means, through thick and thin, and all the problems we may encounter in life, we will inherit eternal life. We never give up. We never go back and embrace the evil we see in the world and people around us. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Paul reminds us that any and all hardships we live through today will not even come close to comparing to the glory we will one day be given. Waiting on God means we look to that future glory even when life is hard today. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Waiting on God means we hate that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Everything we do leads us to the place where we overcome evil with good. Waiting on God also means when we are wronged, we wait for God to avenge what was done to us. We never seek to avenge a wrong done to us. We allow God to avenge wrongs done to us. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend them in a low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Finally, waiting on God means knowing there are those who have given up on God and are scoffers. We cannot allow ourselves to also give up on God. We endure. We patiently wait. We know that with God a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. For us, there is no end to the waiting we are willing to do when it comes to waiting on God. We know that any wait we experience gives God the opportunity to bring more people to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Abraham, Moses, David, and Joseph all waited on God. The prophets waited on God, as did the people of faith from the Bible. As the people of faith today, we must also wait on God, never giving up on God, knowing that God does not want any to perish, but to bring all to repentance. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.